We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack.
All right, what a difference a year makes for your Boston Red Sox. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so here on WEI Late Night, number 617-779-7937. I just think about it. Everything that could go wrong for this team goes wrong. Think about it from this perspective. The first thing, the contracts, right? Steve Pearce, $6 million this season. Well, he's been a non-factor. He's hitting 180 when he's actually played with one home run. We have no idea when he's coming back. He's dealing with a knee injury. Nathan Eovaldi. Postseason hero, $17 million per season, hasn't started a game since April. You're hoping to get him back as your closer at some point late this week or early next week. That's where we're at with Nathan Eovaldi, the $68 million man. How about the biggest contract you handed out this particular offseason? $145 million for Chris Sale. He has been absolutely atrocious. He has an ERA north of 4. He is supposed to be one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. And quite frankly, he's the biggest issue with the team. The guy that you identified as your ace, he is the biggest issue with the Red Sox right now. Because you can give me the bullpen as a unit. You can criticize some of the mistakes Dave Dombrowski made in the offseason. But if Chris Sale is just Chris Sale, this team is competing for a division title this year. That's the reality of what Chris Sale has done to this team in a negative capacity. They've won 6 of the 19 games that Chris Sale has started the season. So in terms of the contracts, this could be the worst one. Now, I said at the time I thought it was a horrible idea to sign Chris Sale to this deal because you're giving a guy a contract for essentially 6 more seasons because the extension kicks in next year when he hasn't proven to you that he can stay healthy in September. Past 3 Septembers, he has had an ERA north of 350. His body breaks down. So what tells you that he's going to be healthier as he ages? That's the thing that always perplexed me about the Chris Sale situation. But I didn't think it'd be this bad this early, right? I thought the contract would be bad going forward, like the next 2 or 3 years. I didn't think it'd be this bad this early. Like, Chris Sale's supposed to be good from April to August, right? He's supposed to be a productive player in those months. He's supposed to be one of the most dominating forces in all of Major League Baseball. But right now, you've had 4 consecutive starts where he has not shown up. Not shown up whatsoever. So that's the biggest issue with this team right now. Is Chris Sale, you've won 6 of his 19 games, and he doesn't put you in a position to win ball games like the other night. Just atrocious. Can't get out of the 5th inning. That's supposed to be the guy that carries your pitching staff. Nationally televised game, doesn't show up. You figure, all right, all-star break, he'll figure this thing out. No. Nope. Nope. Actually worse than he's been the past couple of starts. So you thought you could identify the issue with Chris Sale. You haven't done it. White Sox game doesn't have a slider. Blue Jays game a couple of weeks ago. 3 Blue Jays take him deep, all on fastballs. The 7-hitter and the 9-hitter, Jansen and Drury, take him deep. And Chris Sale is somebody that now has an ERA north of 7 against the Toronto Blue Jays this season. A team that comes into tonight with the worst average in all of Major League Baseball. Chris Sale can't figure out those guys. So if you look at the contracts, they've been a massive issue for this team this season in terms of what went wrong with them entering the year. The bullpen, massive issue. 18 blown saves on the season for your Red Sox bullpen. It's been absolutely atrocious. It's been horrible. Brazier's taken a massive step back, and maybe that's on the organization in general. Maybe that's on Dave Dombrowski and company, where they thought they were going to get the same Ryan Brazier they got in the postseason a year ago. That's what they thought, and clearly that has not been the case whatsoever. He has turned back into a pumpkin. Matt Barnes was supposed to be your super reliever, right? He was going to be your high-leverage guy. Well, he's fallen off a cliff this season, okay? Fallen off a cliff. He was great at the beginning of the year, and then he just completely fell off. He looks tired. He looks overtaxed. And he still can't pitch on back-to-back nights. We saw it tonight. Another example of it against the Toronto Blue Jays this evening. Against a horrible team. Okay, and I understand he was put in a bad situation that Brazier left behind. But you bring him in to face Galvis, righty on righty. You figure he can get out of that, but he can't. Gives up a hit to Galvis. They bring in a couple of runs, 10-8 game right then and there. And I get those runs don't go on Barnes. But when you have a reliever of Barnes' talent level, you expect him to be able to get out of that situation. And all year long, he can't pitch on back-to-back days. An ERA of 9, okay? And he's converted just 4 of his 10 save opportunities. So this is the guy that you identified coming into the season as your best reliever, as your super reliever, if you will. And clearly you were wrong about that if you were the Red Sox. The results would tell you that. And I get it. He has great stuff and all that. But the results would tell you you're wrong about that. Think about another thing they made a mistake with this year. Entering the season, the batting order. Remember that? Remember that issue? Andrew Benintendi, 3 of 37 leading off games. And it took them 57 games to acknowledge the fact that they made a mistake putting Andrew Benintendi as their leadoff hitter. It took you that long to identify that issue. And it really screwed up two guys, right? Andrew Benintendi still isn't right. And I get he had a couple of hits tonight. Great. But Mookie Betts is somebody that has not had near the season he did a year ago. And it's funny to me, like, every time Mookie Betts has an outstanding season, 2016 and 2018, he hits leadoff the whole year. 2017, John Farrell messes around with his place in the order. And this year, Alex Cora messes around with his place in the order. And Alex Cora made this big thing when he announced it at the winter meetings. Like, instead of at the winter meetings talking about, like, oh, this is who we're adding to our team or something along those lines, they made this big announcement. Yeah, Mookie's moving to the 2-hole. Benintendi up to the 1-hole. And they both sucked in those positions. Now, Mookie didn't suck, but he wasn't the Mookie Betts from last season. Andrew Benintendi did suck. But it took you 57 games to realize that. And then the manager's message to begin the season. Wasn't that clueless where he said, yeah, we're not going to use, I don't like the expression, turn the page, because we don't want to turn the page. We just want to live off what we did last year. We want to pick up where we came from last year. We want to pick up on last season. He also said at the baseball writers meeting here locally in Boston, the dinner, that, hey, if you thought we were good last year, wait until you see us this year. Oh, yeah, Alex, we're looking at you this year, man. You're like double digits back in the division. You're 2 games out of the second wildcard spot, so we're looking at you. But that whole message about we don't want to turn the page, we want to pick up where we left off last year. I think about the greatest coach in this town, maybe the greatest coach in the history of sports, in Bill Belichick. He treats every single season as its own entity. And Alex Cora is talking about we don't want to turn the page, but Bill Belichick would tell you, yeah, you got to turn the page, Alex. Time to turn the page. New season. Okay, last season was last season. This season is this season. So you look at all those things, the bullpen, the contracts, the manager's message, the batting order, everything that could go wrong for this team has gone wrong. And that's what's led to them being in the position they're at this particular point in time. And everything they did last year worked out perfectly for them. It's been the opposite this year. 617-779-7937 is your number if you want to hop on board. What do you make of your Red Sox at this particular point in time? And maybe even more of an illustration of why this team, you don't believe in them right now, is what they've done when they've actually faced quality competition. Their record against the Yankees, 1-6, Dodgers, 1-2, Rays, 4-5, Indians, they lost 2 of 3 in that series. They did take 2 of 3 of the Twins. That's the only team of quality that the Red Sox have been able to take a series from. Now, they took a series from the Rays, but on the season, they're 4-5 against the Rays. They did sweep them, but right now they're 4-5 against the Rays. So all the good teams in Major League Baseball, they're beating up on you this season. They are beating up on the Red Sox, 1-6 against the Yankees. Just really considering the fact that you have the largest payroll in all of Major League Baseball, it's really indefensible. This team does not handle prosperity well. For whatever reason, they don't bounce back after winning World Series. I don't know what it is. The one year they did was probably 2008, you would say. And in 2008, remember, they made it all the way to the American League Championship Series. But in 2014, they fell off. And you could kind of predict that with that team. That team didn't have a ton of talent. That 2013 team, that was a magical run. The team that won the World Series last year was significantly more talented than the 2013 team. So you expected this team to, at the very least, be in a battle for the division. Now, if you didn't win the division, you could justify that. You could understand that, right? If they didn't win the division, because, look, the Yankees were great last season. The Yankees won 100 games last year. So you could see the Red Sox taking a little bit of a step back and not winning the division and being okay with it. But as we sit at this particular point in time, being two games back of the Indians for the second wild card spot, an Indians team that is actually contemplating selling. That's where the Indians are at right now. And being nine games back in the division with the Yankees, you can't accept that. You cannot accept that. You're 51-43. You can't accept what the Red Sox are at now. You thought, okay, maybe they take a tiny step back, but not to this extent. Not to this extent. To the point where you're sweating out a game against the Blue Jays tonight because you can't trust Rick Porcello to hold down a 5-0 lead, and you can't trust Ryan Brazier to hold down a 10-4 lead. The embarrassing thing to me about tonight against the Blue Jays is the fact that you had to go to your two best relievers. In a game where you had a 6-run cushion, you had to go to your best relievers. That's where the Red Sox are at tonight. 617-779-7937 is the number. What do you make of your Red Sox right now? Let's get to Tim, who's in Narragansett. What's up, Tim?
Hey, what's going on, Moss?
What's going on? What do you got?
So I wanted to make a comment about the way the media is treating Chris Sale as opposed to David Price last season. So the big thing with David Price was everybody hated him. He was flunking, and anytime he had a media connection with, you know, like anytime he did a press review or whatever, everybody essentially hated on the guy because he was more concerned with Fortnite than throwing in a mean-ass curveball. Excuse me. What it comes down to, I think, is he's going to end up putting up for the Red Sox team what it really means it. And, of course, he's coming off the surgery. Of course, the Red Sox, they absolutely blundered when it came down to a real contract. Like,
wait, who are you talking about with surgery?
Sale.
He didn't have surgery.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he didn't have surgery. He was injured last year with the shoulder. He didn't have surgery, though.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. I'm completely mixing him up with Pedroia's Tommy John. But regardless, I think that Sale is going to end up coming up big for the Red Sox in September and October.
Okay, so you're saying essentially like how Price struggled last year and then he figured it out in the postseason. You expect that from Sale.
Exactly. And the reason why I think that is because Price was kind of cocky when he was talking to the media. I kind of sensed that in Sale's press reviews recently. I think that
I don't see that at all with Sale. I see Sale, he's talking about the fact that he's been a liability. I don't see Sale as somebody right now that seems confident. He seems lost. He said he's searching for it more so than he ever has in his career.
Well, absolutely, but I think it's all a facade almost. I think he's doing it for the media front. I think Sale is going to end up coming up big in the eventually. I still believe the Red Sox have a solid chance at the wild card spot. I think that they'll take over Tampa Bay. I think they'll beat them in the wild card game. I see the Sox. I think the MLB has too much money invested in a Red Sox-Yankees postseason to not kind of figure it out that way. I mean, obviously...
Come on, Tim. The MLB can't control it. I appreciate the call. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617.
Huge comparison theories.
Yeah, you can hop on board if you want. 617-779-7937. So he thinks the Red Sox are going to get in because of the fact
that... This isn't the NFL.
Yeah, they want the Red Sox and the Yankees in a postseason series. Come on, you can't manipulate it. It's 162 games. They can't make the Red Sox win more games. With the Chris Sale thing, I just don't know how anybody can trust him right now because Chris Sale usually breaks down when we get into September, right? That's when Chris Sale usually fails. In September is when he has an ERA the past three seasons with a... ERA north of 350, I should say. And Chris Sale says he seems cocky at his press conferences. I don't get that perception at all from Chris Sale. It seems like Chris Sale, when he's addressing the media now, it's almost like he seems defeated. That's what he seems like to me. And I'm actually getting sick and tired of Chris Sale talking to the media where he keeps saying all this stuff about, oh, I'm a liability. It's not good enough. I'm hurting the team. That's great, okay? It's great that he's accountable. And I guess that's the big difference between Chris Sale and David Price, right? Because David Price was the guy that always said, like, yeah, I'm dealing with allergies. It's something I've dealt with my whole life. I've had to deal with allergies, whether it's dogs, whether it's cats, all this different type of stuff. I've had to deal with all this stuff. There was always an excuse with David Price. With Chris Sale, there's never an excuse. He just says he isn't good enough. But my question is, when is he going to figure it out? Because now we've heard this for four starts in a row. We've heard the same song with Chris Sale. It hasn't been good enough. Well, when is it going to be good enough? When are you going to figure it out? That's what I want to know. How do you have a pitcher at this particular point in time that has lost his slider, has no feel for his slider whatsoever, and when you get into the most critical games of the season, he doesn't show up? Twice against the Yankees, he gets bounced around for four earned runs. This game against the Dodgers the other night, he can't get out of the fifth inning. Cannot get out of the fifth inning. So when you look at it from that perspective, it's great that the guy's accountable. And unlike David Price in the past, it's great that he is saying, you know, this is on me. But that's okay when it's one or two starts. Okay, I'm okay with that when it's one or two starts where he plays poorly and he falls on the sword. But the problem is, this is becoming a routine with Chris Sale, where he goes out to the podium after he plays or he's at his locker, whatever it is, he talks to the media and he tells you how much he sucks. Well, I'm sorry, I'm sick and tired of hearing Chris Sale talk about how he sucks. Why do you suck? Why can't you figure it out? That's what I want to know from Chris Sale. I need answers. I need results on the field. I don't care if he's accountable anymore, because at some point, the accountability doesn't matter to me at all. It doesn't. I'm sorry. You can apologize all you want, but until you fix your mistakes, I don't care anymore. I don't care what Chris Sale says after he starts anymore. Now, if he gave us some detail on what's wrong with him, okay, I'd buy into that, but I don't want to deal with this anymore where he's apologizing all the time. I'm sick and tired of it. Just show us some results. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, dude?
Nothing. So, you know, I definitely, you know, you made a really good point just then with Sale. It's I want to know why he's not doing well. I watching the first couple innings, the other night, I mean, you know, he definitely got squeezed. They definitely were fouling some balls off. And then it's like the third, fourth inning, it just unravels. And he used to be able to just kind of, you know, he'd give up like a two-run bomb or a three-run bomb, but you knew that was it. Like, that's all they were getting.
Right.
And he just can't seem to just shut the door anymore. And it's definitely frustrating. And, you know, I was just thinking about, I think I'm not a sell guy. I think you can still sell but get better. I think you can dump, you know, Pierce and maybe even Moreland. And let, you know, Chavis and maybe Hernandez get some at-bats and still, you know, maybe compete for that second wild card.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to get. I don't think you can get anything for Pierce right now.
Maybe Moreland. Yeah, maybe Moreland.
Yeah, I'd like to see Moreland get back on the team, though. I mean, look, and Matt, I don't think they'll sell. The Red Sox won't stomach selling at this particular point in time. They have way too much money invested in the team, so they're not going to sell. They won't. I don't think they're going to add anything more, though. I really don't. I think this is it. I mean, they're close to that $246 million luxury tax threshold, and I don't blame them for not spending. I mean, would you want to spend money and pay more additional money in luxury tax bills if it's a little piece that's probably not going to put you over the top? This team isn't good enough to justify going out and getting more.
No, absolutely, and I agree. You know, Velasquez had a great year last year for being a spot starter guy. That's not coming. You know, BJ is not there either. They're not getting those spot starts like they got last year. You know, and Porcello, man, it's like he was, you know, I think you said it earlier too. I mean, for a while, he was almost like our Derek Lowe back in the day. You know, where he just every 5 days he knew he was going to eat innings.
Yeah.
And now it's to the point where he's a liability, man. Like, you can't go up 5-0 and then blow that lead. Like, that just can't happen.
Yeah, Matt, I appreciate the phone call. It's hard to watch with Rick Porcello because I've liked Rick Porcello since he's been a member of this Red Sox organization. Not that I disliked him before. Not that I'm saying like, oh, I hated him as a Tiger. No, I liked Rick Porcello when he came over from the Tigers. He's given you really, really quality years. But it just seems like his time's up. Father time, man. Athletic mortality. Rick Porcello's not the same pitcher he's been in previous seasons. He's throwing 88, 89 mile an hour fastballs. That's the reality of where you're at. You're always going to remember Rick Porcello as a quality member of the Red Sox team. Won a Cy Young. He went out there and gave you 200 innings in multiple different seasons. But the problem now is he went from being a guy that had to depend on control to a guy that even if he controls the baseball, puts it in the right spot, it's still not good enough because you're throwing 89, 88 mile an hour fastballs. It's sad to watch because he looks like right now a shot fighter. It looks like you're going to throw the towel in on Rick Porcello. That's where you're at this particular point in time. All right, I want to get to something that Tom Brady did that absolutely shocked me. I don't get why he did it. I'll get to that in just a little bit. Your number is 617-779-7937. Before we do that, though, we'll get you trending on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, Brian Barrett with you. Late night, number 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh on your Red Sox, certainly welcome to do so. But I want to transition to the Patriots a little bit here. So I found this funny today. So a guy with the Twitter handle, Hippo's Razor, real name Matt Harrington. He is a Jaguars fan. He decided to call out Tom Brady on Twitter. So the Madden ratings, of course, came out today. And Brady was a 96, which was second in terms of quarterbacks. The only guy with a higher Madden grade in terms of quarterbacks than Brady was Pat Mahomes, the MVP of the league, at 97. So on Twitter, Matt Harrington, or as he's known on Twitter, Hippo's Razor, tweeted at Yahoo Sports NFL, amongst others, quote, Tom Brady can't run 2 yards. How the hell is he a 96? Okay. So Yahoo Sports NFL tweets back, probably because, and shows a picture of Brady with all 6 rings on his finger from that recent party where they got their last Super Bowl ring there. So then Brady tweets back at Hippo's Razor, a.k.a. Matt Harrington, the Jaguars fan. I 100%, or I should say first, Matt Harrington tweets at NFL Yahoo and Brady, or NFL Yahoo, I 100% could run faster and further than Tom. So could 50% of high schoolers, 80% of college players, and 99% of pros. Learn how to unbiasedly access the totality of a player, then adjust these numbers, and I could possibly take you seriously. That's what he says back to Madden and NFL Yahoo. Brady tweets back. So Tom Brady gets involved in this. He tweets back at Hippo's Razor, Matt Harrington. Tom Brady's tweeting at a guy named Hippo's Razor, okay, who's got like 100 followers. He'll probably get a lot more followers today, Hippo's Razor will. He tweets back at him, I'm so much faster than you, Matt. So Brady actually tweets back at this guy. Why is Tom Brady tweeting back at Hippo's Razor? Okay, don't get involved with that, Tom. You're tweeting at Hippo's Razor, Matt Harrington, the Jaguars fan, and I'm starting to think to myself, some of the things that Brady has done this offseason, a little bit peculiar, right? So Tom Brady, remember just a couple of weeks ago, he put a picture up on Instagram of like a radar gun type thing showing how fast he threw the football, and he was 61 miles per hour. And he labeled that picture on Instagram, quote, he's going to fall off a cliff, which is a blatant shot at who? Max Kellerman, like his biggest hater in the world. So Brady did that. Not to mention the fact, as I said earlier, he was tweeting at Hippo's Razor. Okay, Matt Harrington, I can't make this up. The one time Brady's going at a fan on Twitter, it's Hippo's Razor. Okay, so by the way, Brady's radar gun thing, revelation, if you will, 61 miles an hour, the highest recorded throw at the combine since they started recording it in 08 was 62 miles an hour by Josh Allen. So 61, pretty good by Brady, by the way. But anyway, he also posted a video of himself running a 5:17.40, which is faster than the 5:28.40 that he ran at the combine. So my question is, why is Brady doing all this stuff this offseason? 617-779-7937, if you have an idea. So Brady, first of all, is going at Max Kellerman on Twitter by putting up how fast he's throwing the football. He's getting into a battle with Hippo's Razor, Matt Harrington, the Jaguars fan, about his Madden rating. He's getting in an argument about his Madden rating, okay? And then he's posting the video of himself running a 40 time. And I look at it, okay? So Brady, of course, wants to play until he's 45. He said he's going to play until he's 45. So I look at last year. Brady's numbers, they dipped off a little bit, right? He was only top 10 in one statistical category, which was touchdown passes with 29. In terms of yards per game, passing yards per game, 11th. Completion percentage, 18th. Rating, he was at 12th. You look at 2 years ago, Tom Brady's MVP season, he was third in touchdown passes with 32. He was first in passing yards per game at 286. He was first in rating, and he was third. No, he was third in rating, actually. Okay, so he was first in passing yards per game. He was first in touchdown, or third in touchdown passes, and he was first in rating as well. So in terms of Brady's statistical profile, it was a lot better his MVP season than it was last year. So you look at Brady right now. He's getting in a battle on Twitter with a fan. He's posting how fast he's throwing the football, going at Max Kellerman. He's doing all this stuff, posting the video of himself. And I'm starting to think to myself, why after all these years where Brady has been quiet when it comes to this type of stuff, he doesn't go at his haters, right? He's not like a Kevin Durant with a phantom Twitter account so he can go at people that are criticizing him, right? He never does that. He never gets into a battle or an altercation with a reporter, never gets mad at people. Just let things kind of go over his head.
I hold all the cards now.
Yeah, like David Price. That's a guy that definitely holds a grudge. Brady never lets that stuff irritate him. So I'm wondering this. This is the theory I have on it. So look at the way the Patriots are building their team right now. 2 years ago, they spent a first-round draft pick on what position? Running back and offensive line. Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. You look at what they did this year in the NFL draft. In the third round, they drafted another running back, Damian Harris. And I start to look at some of the weapons, or lack thereof, that the Patriots have. So right now, you're looking at a guy like Julian Edelman and what else? You're depending on a rookie in N'Keal Harry at the wide receiver position. Maurice Harris, who none of us have ever heard of until this season when the Patriots decided to sign him, a guy that played on the Redskins last year. Dontrell Inman, who Indianapolis didn't want. Demaryius Thomas, who's coming off an Achilles injury. On the other side of 30, by the way. So that's really, you're taking a shot on this guy. Now, not that it costs you a lot from a financial perspective, but really, we've seen guys coming back from Achilles injuries in their 30s. There's no evidence whatsoever that those guys actually perform at a high level again. Josh Gordon, no idea what's going to happen with him. You're hoping he comes back, but you have no clue. I mean, and even if he does come back, can you actually depend that he's going to be with the team for an extended period of time? Because you had him last year, then you didn't have him. The tight end position with Gronk on, you bring in a couple of guys. When you look at it, Benjamin Watson is older and suspended for 4 games. He's older than Gronk. Remember, he was the tight end before Gronk, and now he's the tight end after Gronk. Matt Lacoste has no track record whatsoever in the NFL. That guy's never performed at a high level. So you got a bunch of question marks after Edelman when it comes to your receiving core and your offensive artillery, your offensive weaponry, if you will, right? So you look at it from that perspective, Brady sees what's going on. And Brady realizes, well, last year, my numbers went down, but it wasn't because of me. And I would acknowledge that Brady's right on that. I'm guessing what he's thinking. But I'm telling you that Brady's numbers were down last season compared to the season before, and it wasn't on him. It was the fact that he had no cohesion, if you will, with his receivers. Because the only guy that he could depend on was Gronk to begin the year. And then Edelman comes back, a little bit of a slow start after the suspension. Then he finally picks it up. But all these other guys, the Gordons of the world, you develop a little bit of chemistry with, then he's gone. Philip Dorsett's a guy you're bringing back this year, averaged 18 yards per game last year. So even if you look at the weaponry last year, you had Gronk. So it was better last year, the offensive weapons, and Brady's numbers went down. And now you look at it this year, this receiving core is a disaster. This receiving core does not look good whatsoever heading into the season. So Brady realizes that this is a team that is now, look what Bill Belichick is doing. They drafted an offensive lineman in the first round 2 years ago. They drafted a running back in the first round 2 years ago. They drafted another running back this year in the third round. So what Brady's doing is he realizes what Belichick is doing. He's building this team to be a more run-heavy team, right? And the stats would indicate that if you look at last year, the Pats were fifth in the league in terms of rushing yards per game at 127 yards per game, 478 attempts. 2 years ago, the year that Brady was the MVP of the NFL, they were 10th in the league in rushing yards per game at 118, and they ran the ball 448 times. So in Brady's MVP season, the Patriots ran the football 30 times less than they did a season ago, okay? So if you look at it from that perspective, they emphasized the run a lot more last year, and especially after Josh Gordon had the suspension. They started running the ball a whole lot more than they had previously. So what Brady sees is this team is transitioning into a more run-heavy team than it has in previous seasons. So what it feels like to me is you're going to get somewhere in between Brady at the beginning of his career, remember when he was kind of the game manager, and the Brady since really 05, 04, where it became his team, and it was all about the high-octane passing offense, right, where they were throwing the ball all over the place, okay? It seems like it's going to be somewhere in between that, between the game manager and the guy that's throwing the ball all over the yard. So maybe what Brady is thinking by getting into a Twitter battle with Hippo's Razor, by calling out Max Kellerman and saying falling off a cliff, showing that he still has the arm strength, by showing that he runs a faster 40 time at the age of 41 than he did when he was coming out of college at Michigan. Maybe all this is to prove to us, like, look, if my numbers dip off again this year, it's not going to be because I'm not up to the task. It's not going to be because my skill set has diminished whatsoever. The reason that maybe my numbers will dip off is because we're transitioning into a more run-heavy team, not to mention the fact that I have no weapons whatsoever. So maybe Brady has taken this summer to put it out there, to let everybody know that, look, I'm still the same guy. I still have the arm strength. In fact, my arm is stronger than when I came into the NFL. I'm faster than when I came into the NFL. But the organization is going in a direction where they're building more around the running game than they ever have since I came into the league, really going back to my early years in the league. We're shaping up to be more of that type of team, but it's not because of me, because I have the arm strength. I have the athletic ability, okay? I'm more athletic than I've ever been. So it's not about me. It's the fact that they've decided to build the team this way. And if you look at it, you can sympathize with Brady, because Brady's somebody that has been ultra productive with bad receiving cores in the past. Remember, 06's leading receiver was Rashay Caldwell. So he's been able to make stuff out of guys that aren't very good. And he's been doing that for years. And now he's in the latter portion of his career, and he can kind of see what's happening with the organization, that they're transitioning into a more run-heavy offense. And Brady knows what's coming this year. If Brady's numbers dip off again like they did last year, the national media is going to have a field day with it, and they're going to criticize Tom Brady. They're going to blame Tom Brady for his numbers going down a little bit. So Brady's doing all these things. In my mind this summer, my theory is the reason he's putting all this out there is to prove that he still has it from a skills standpoint. He still can make all the throws. He's throwing the ball 61 miles an hour. He's running a faster 40 time than he did earlier in his career. He wants that all out there. So when the team or when his numbers aren't the same as they've been in previous seasons, he can point back to the fact, look, I can still make all the throws. This isn't about me. So he's getting in front of this to prove to everybody that, look, it's not about me. It's the fact that we're transitioning into a more run-heavy team, if you will. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Paul. He is in Westfield. What's up, Paul?
Good evening, Brian. I will only ask three questions because last time I said four, and lo and behold, Professor Barrett waited for fourth, and I had no idea what I was going to say after that many questions, but I winged it, and it was good. How are you, bud?
Good. How you doing, man?
Good. The first question is, our Andrew Cashman, our new pitcher, apparently last year he was 4-15 with an ERA of 5.89. Mm-hmm. The critics said he hadn't pulled it all together. This year he has an ERA of 1.44 and is seemingly really good against the better teams. What's the full picture on him, and what did we just get?
You know, Paul, I don't hate it at all. I actually kind of like it because you look at that fifth starter spot. We all know it's been a black hole, right? They've been averaging 3 1/3 innings out of that spot. So Andrew Cashner, at the very least, he should be able to eat innings. Great numbers this year and much better than his career previously. So at the very least, and you gave up two 17-year-olds. I like this move from Dave Dombrowski because clearly you need somebody in that fifth spot because of Aldi's not coming back as a starter. So I like the move from Dave Dombrowski's perspective.
Right, and hopefully it'll turn out as good as last year with Evaldi. So the second question is self-evident. I'm still shocked, 61 miles an hour, and you said some other guy threw 1 mile an hour faster, a name I've never even heard of. Is that what you just said about Tom?
Oh, yeah. The highest recorded, like, miles per hour, the hardest throw ever at the combine was 62 miles an hour. That was Josh Allen a couple of years ago, but they started measuring that in 2008, and Brady threw, he posted on Instagram, he threw a ball 61 miles an hour a couple of weeks ago.
Wow, imagine putting your hand out the window at that speed. So the second question is based upon this. When you're born from day one till from that point forward, you age. So his age is a number like on a piece of paper. The actual number, which you just stated, with accuracy combined with his total wins, it's not falling off the cliff. It's just where he's at. They need a poking point, but age is just a number and it's performance. That's the thing that they don't seem to understand.
Yeah, and I don't think Brady, like in terms of the numbers dipping off last season, I don't think any of that had to do with Brady in particular. I thought it had to do more about the fact that the receiving core was not great. He never had a rhythm with any of those guys outside of Edelman and Gronkowski. And Paul, going into this year, the receiving core is worse, and Gronkowski's not there.
Correct. I'm going to cancel question three and switch it to the next question. When Flash Gordon, our receiver, was playing at a world level elite and was clearly a key part of our offense, was removed suddenly because of legal marijuana in his system. How can someone go into all the other stories, angles, and avenues and disregard the fact that 24 hours earlier, he's playing at an elite level? So if it isn't broken, why fix it? Why is the NFL not updating their policy with the current legal laws?
Yeah, it's a fair point, Paul. I appreciate the phone call. Have a great night. His line's open at 617-779-7937. I don't understand why the NFL tests for weed. And even if you want to say you test for weed from a legal standpoint, like the NBA technically tests for marijuana too, right? Just don't suspend guys. It's stupid, okay? Let's get up with the modern times. I really don't understand why guys that are in a collision sport, if they want to go home and smoke a joint, I don't care, quite frankly. I don't care whatsoever. All right, a lot more to get into, including Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman. Absolutely legendary stuff last night. We'll get into that. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Rob, what do you like?
All right, we're going to go with Gronk if you're horny.
Beep, beep.
Moo.
Cow.
Has a huge trunk.
Elephant.
It's one by itself. It's a type of animal. And it,
rhinoceros.
No.
Pass.
Rhymes with porn.
Unicorn.
Yes.
They animals have humps on their back.
Canoe. Camels.
They build them. They're huge.
Huts.
No, they're huge.
Pyramids.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know what one's better. Oh, that's unbelievable. Brian Barrett with you. WEI Late Night. I don't know what one's better where he says rhymes with porn, or when they're describing something to Gronk and they said, it's huge. And he says, huts. Huts are small, Gronk. What's going on, man? Although, you know what? I can't really get on him too much because you think about it. That's got to be tough when you're on one of those game shows. You get all that pressure. You're trying to think of those things quick.
Yeah, I mean, one, you're on TV, but that's also going on.
Yeah, you're going to say some dumb things, but I mean.
Not dark, but.
White.
Unbelievable. Rhymes with porn. Unicorn.
The continent where the Nile runs.
Egypt.
No, the continent. Not the, oh, Egypt, man. Is in what? The big old place. I am blank American. I'm blank American.
Africa.
His hint was I'm blank American.
I'm blank American.
The best was continent. He says Egypt.
Egypt.
Oh, unbelievable. Gronk is enjoying retirement. By the way, I saw a story today about Gronk. You wouldn't be surprised by this based on the way he looks. You realize, Joe, that he has not lifted since he stopped playing football?
Oh, absolutely. I could totally see it. I mean, like, what do you have to do to get ready for a football
season?
Well,
see, now here's his leverage now if he's coming back, right? Because remember, Gronk was getting all this credit last year for, he's doing great in the blocking game, right? So Gronk's saying to himself, hey, if I ever come back, I don't want to be blocking everybody on every play.
I wouldn't bet that if he ever comes back, he makes some, you know how they always played him out wide? I mean, make a statement, you know, I'm coming back. I'm 30, 40 pounds less. I'm just going to become one of those huge targets on the outside.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He becomes like the Jimmy Graham tight end that never has to block instead of having to have the collision every single time out there. But you can tell right now, if he is going to come back and play in the NFL, it's not going to be this year. Or if it is, it's going to be at the tail end of the season because clearly that dude is not in like football workout mode whatsoever. He is very lean.
The Super Bowl was in February. Think about how much we've seen Gronkowski since then. And just think about how much more it's going to get when football starts.
Well, that's what I'm questioning. Like, what is he going to do when football starts? Because at this particular point in time, he can hang out. Like, Edelman was with him on that show. So he can hang out with Edelman. He can do his thing. He's done late night shows. He's been all over the place. That guy has so many damn endorsements. And he is involved in so many random things. Like, he was playing in a celebrity basketball game in L.A. a couple of weeks ago. We all know he's done, like, motocross stuff in the past. That guy has his hands at everything. He is all over the place. He's doing so many different things. But I'm wondering, when the NFL season actually starts to become closer, and then all his buddies, like, all his friends, like Edelman, et cetera, I know he's got his brothers that he hangs out with, But Edelman and all those guys are going to be going to training camp, and they're going to be playing on football games on Sunday. I'm wondering what he's going to feel like then. At that particular point in time, is he going to be like, well, you know what? I'm kind of 30 years old. I fear, though, that he's going to turn into Tiki Barber. Remember Tiki Barber waited too long to get back? Like, I feel like Gronk's going to want to launch this other career, if you will. And then he's going to realize after a couple of years, like, you know, that whole football thing, it was kind of fun. Like,
well, at least he won't go bankrupt like Tiki Barber.
Oh, that's for sure. He definitely will not. Apparently, he hasn't spent, like, any of his NFL money. He spends all his endorsement money. But I'm afraid he's going to be like Tiki Barber, and then 2 years down the road, and Tiki, it was like 5 years, but 2 years down the road, Gronk's going to be like, I want to come back, and it's just not going to be the same player anymore. And
he's changed so fast in sports. I mean, everything speeds up.
Yeah, that's the reality of it. All right, well, thanks to Joe Cortez for producing tonight. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.